here, or they're just tubs of, like, just like tubby guys. Like, Eddie Edwards used to be in shape. Remember that? He ain't now. Sammy Callahan was never in shape. He just wears dumpy shit. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I have to retract a little. Moose looks like a real star. He's dressing in suits. He's coming out talking straight fire. And, I mean, he wasn't doing that, though. This is new.
Oh, okay.
He's the only guy. Like, the Impact Champion is Rich Swann.
Oh, okay. And what? Is EC3 not cutting it these days?
No, he's gone. He was only there to help Moose get over.
Oh, okay.
He's not. Going to Ring of Honor.
Oh.
So.
Good for him.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to do something different, and he's trying it out. So, good for him, man. So.
Yeah.
I wasn't digging the new gimmick, so hopefully he'll have something different.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty short cup of coffee there that he had in Impact. So, I don't
remember, but I don't even think Eric Young was on this week. I don't remember. Which, if he doesn't come back to TV, that's fine.
I mean, yeah, that was one where when he did the whole Vince McMahon was missing the boat thing, I'm like, nah, not really, man. There are a lot of people ahead of you. It's okay. And even in Impact, it's just like, I can't imagine he's that much of a help.
Yeah, no. Unless he's helping backstage, then fine. But you're not going to turn on the TV, see Eric Young, and go, oh wow, I got to see what this guy. No, I mean, maybe the old bloated Eric Young with hair or a beard or something. But now he's just some skinny old-looking guy with tattoos. Like, much like the rest of the roster. So...
Oh man, I remember what's his name? I guess to kind of go back, since I did just decide to hit record while we were babbling about this all got prompted. This is Kevin DeFranco, that's Jeremy Mays. It was all prompted by talking about the Rascals being a weird signing for the WWE, because I guess I liked the group dynamic that they had, but the WWE isn't going to do some weird stoner gimmick, I don't think.
No. They did like a suit, they kind of did a pseudo one with Matt Riddle. Remember when he was Matt Riddle. you know, they kind of said, they kind of hinted.
Oh, right.
But they never came right out. That was the gimmick, you know? Which is like, all right. I mean, if you listen, like, the way he says bro, and then also his music, you kind of get the hint.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. If you're not putting two and two together, that's on you for Riddle. But yeah, like, I guess I kind of like them as wrestlers. But, as stacked as I talk about the women's division being, like, I don't know where they fit in. Like, you're not going to revitalize the 205 Live division. I guess they could be in NXT full time. Basically, like Johnny Gargano or Tommaso Ciampa. But I don't know if any of them have really distinct... who's the one? Because it's Zach Wentz. He's usually not the singles guy. Who's the... I'm trying to think of who the guy was that wrestled singles more than the other two.
I'll be dead honest with you. I have no clue. I barely paid attention to these guys. So,
okay.
I'm trying to remember. I guess that's kind of the point I was getting to. Like, okay.
Oh.
WWE sign up. Like, for what? Like, I know they're young, but okay. Like, they stand no shot of going to the main roster.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's why I brought up Gargano and Ciampa. I'm like, I just don't feel like they're going to be guys that end up getting up to the main roster. Like, that's kind of a ceiling for them as his NXT champion.
You're being very kind. I guess it's just how much of an impression they didn't make on me. And obviously, this is just my opinion on it.
Changed too. I don't think I'm guaranteeing that they're going to get there. I think, you know, I'm kind of just saying that that's their ceiling. Like, at best, that's what they're going to get to. Yeah. Like, if they develop from where they're at, like, I did like, because they were doing like these, and I don't know if they're still doing them, like half-baked like promos was kind of their shtick. But again, like, I don't see the WWE doing that. Like, I even think that that's probably a little too edgy for NXT. So that means...
I think this is a good segue to NXT and how NXT is not edgy. It is goofy. Okay, let's just put it this way. This was a goofy week for Wednesday wrestling.
It was.
Okay, I'm gonna say. I'll say. I know we're talking about NXT. AEW was garbage this week. That show, it takes a lot. But NXT was what? Like, what the hell was going on? I don't even know where to start. Do you want to talk about the Gargano stuff?
Beating
the shit out of Dexter Lumis, and then bragging about it, and then. What the fuck, the guy from the Golden Child comes in and paints a black X on Boa's hand? I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
What was
the main event? Oh, of course, yeah. And then, alright, Pat McAfee becoming likable because he's such a dick. Like, I'm totally lost on what Wednesday was for NXT, but I enjoyed it more than AEW. Like, where do you start?
I far more enjoyed NXT than AEW this week. Like, to me, it wasn't even a contest. Like, I'm not sure I was as angry as you were about AEW, but I'm like, god damn, man, this is that whole episode ended up being kind of terrible. Like, I actually thought some of the stuff that came after the part that you were all fired up about at the beginning there, I'm like, this is going downhill. Like, how is this going downhill? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, with NXT, to me, this whole... I think you and I have talked about it. Gargano's been getting a real chuckle out of me. And the wife is definitely a hard sell for anything wrestling. She likes to do the live events, which is why she comes to some of those sometimes. But, like, actually getting her invested in a storyline is a whole different ball of wax. And she was enjoying the Gargano, the wheel shtick, even though she had no idea. Like, I kind of had to explain that part to her about why he liked wheels now and why his wife does not. She was sold by that segment. Like, she really enjoyed that. And just the fact, like, it was fun, bizarre that Leon Ruff became the North American champion. And it's really even stranger due to the fact that typically when someone like, you know, Damian Priest gets involved in these matches and the surprise victory happens, there's some type of physical involvement. And Damian Priest did none of the sort.
Exactly. So the result got spoiled for me because they put it all over their social media accounts. And I happened to check Instagram watching AEW. And I went, what? I was like, Johnny Gargano lost? I'm like, I wonder to who. And so I didn't know what it was. Then I saw Leon. I'm like, wait, what? So automatically I figured, oh, Damian Priest did something. Okay, cool. Because I know Ruff hasn't been on too much. I've seen him in person a bunch of times. Do you remember when Brian was in high school? How skinny he was?
Oh, yes.
Just imagine skinnier and shorter. That's Leon Ruff. I mean, it's crazy. So, I know, like, Johnny's not exactly the biggest dude, right?
Right.
But he's not that small. It's really crazy to me. But so I guess that makes it work, I guess. But yeah, I totally expected Damian Priest to interfere, and he's just there. It was all Johnny distracting himself. So
yeah,
I guess that's the point. I don't know, but just I thought it was a weird decision.
Like,
no offense, there's no money in Ruff, so.
Yeah, I think
not to be mean, but
that's kind of the confusing part. Like, it's kind of fun. I definitely enjoyed it, but it's like, does Gargano just get the win back at some point, or does Damian Priest win the belt before Gargano can get it back to make things kind of interesting again? Like, I don't know if that makes things interesting again, that Gargano's got to win it back from Priest a second time through weird means. Like, yeah, this is one that I'm definitely willing to leave it some line to see how it plays out. But at the present time, it is 100% confusing. Because, like, I honestly expected some resolution before the end of the show, and when it didn't come, I was like, huh? Like,
now, I did enjoy him trying to resolve it.
Oh.
And I think that's one thing that NXT does far better than anybody, is their authority figure matters. You don't mess with William Regal. So when Johnny's in his face, William Regal's like, the hell with you, I ain't doing nothing for you. And he kept it up, and then, you know, so Johnny Gargano goes to apologize, and Regal's still like, you're being a dick. Why am I going to help you when you're being a dick? And then when he wouldn't give him what he wanted, Gargano immediately just goes nuts again. And it was great. And that goes nuts, but then goes right back to being a dick again. And Regal's like, you know, you did this, so this is what's going to happen. And I love the fact that Gargano goes, the whole thing was rigged. He said, of course I picked the easiest guy to play. Like, it was rigged. It's not even a real wheel. The results aren't real. and Ron Wiggle was like, well, tough. But in like any time else, you know, they'd be like, I don't know, whatever authority figure they would have.
Oh yeah.
Would just be like get the, so they just berate them, and the authority figure would just sit there. Or if it's the bad guy authority figure, they make the baby faces look like idiots. So,
yeah, I'm glad that William Regal is as close as we've gotten to that. I don't know how many years we've harped on the trying to get the impartial general manager type of situation going on. Like, he's on just enough, you know, to remind you that he's the authority figure. But he doesn't really need to chew scenery either. Like, he's not out there unnecessarily for, because, like, they don't even have him at all. Do they have him at all the contract signings?
I think they're in, like, the peak. Well, some would say the peak now. But, like, peak COVID stuff, he was at home. So he would only be doing stuff via Zoom or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So physically note, but I think he had a presence. So
yeah, well, I was trying to think of a situation where sometimes he kind of lets it slide, but I don't. I do think that he's actually present for all of the contract signings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes to the point of his authority figure role. That like, no, I'm. This is what I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know.
No.
It's one of those. It's like one of those unspoken, like, unnoticed things, I guess, if you want to put it that way. That like they're actually doing it right, and it doesn't get any credit. You know.
Yeah.
So, as a general manager, whatever else, you don't see them very often.
So, oh no!
It's exactly, like, it's being played the exact way it's supposed to be. So, but.
Yeah,
but it's just, I think the bigger problem, you kind of brought it up. The problem is Johnny Gargano. Like, what is there for, like, I know that he doesn't want to go to the main roster, whether he's, like, expressed that or not, because, you know, it's not going to go well for him on the main roster. But what do you do? I mean, he's not old. So, I mean, what do you do with him? Yeah. He's already won every championship. I think he's won. No, he only won the NXT title once, right?
I believe so. One? Yeah, okay. I believe it's NXT once and North American twice, along with the tag belts.
Okay.
Because I don't think him and Ciampa won him a second time.
No, I don't think they did either. Okay. Well, all right. So, yeah, so that's another thing I was kind of thinking was, well, I guess he could stick around to be the only guy to win every title twice. Weird as that is. You know, hey, no one's ever won them all twice. Because I know, like, Finn Balor, of course, is one of the title three times now? Or is it twice?
No, he's twice.
It is twice? Okay. Because Joe was the first to win it twice. Is that right?
I would not recall one way or the other. Because I know that it isn't...
Well, I remember it being significant. No one had ever done it. It was like, all right, once you lose it, you go to the main roster.
Oh.
Well, he lost it and it won. Yeah. He lost it to Finn. No, he beat Finn. Yes, that's right. He beat Finn, lost to Nakamura, beat Nakamura, and then Nakamura beat him again, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I think you're correct. Yeah, now that you recite that, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, because they were in Japan, so they wanted Nakamura to win it in Japan or something like that. Some weird shit. Unnecessary stuff, but anyways. But yeah, I think to me that speaks to the bigger problem with Johnny Gargano. And honestly, when Priest lost the title, I thought he was going to the main roster.
I mean,
he's far too big of a guy to stay in NXT, you know?
You know, that was something that I did not think about that last night when I was watching the show. But I was kind of thinking that just to myself in general after he won. I'm like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy splits after he loses the title. Just because, like you said, like everyone else that's his size... And his skill level has left NXT pretty promptly. You know, I mean, Keith Lee wasn't there for very long. If it hadn't been for that weird layoff that he had, it probably would have been even a shorter time there in NXT. And same thing goes for Dijakovic. Like, I mean, I know he's stuck in a crap gimmick. But he's on the main roster nonetheless at this point. Huh?
Where is he?
T-Bar.
I know. I was I knew it wasn't Slapjack, and as soon as I said it, I go, fuck, what's his name? I totally blanked on his name. I actually had something there, and I blew it myself. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That works just as well. But, yeah, so I guess that was kind of an underrated weird part of that, of that whole thing was that Damian Priest was just there. Like I'm with you. Like if he would have been off to the main roster, like I never would have I wouldn't have missed him. Like I mean,
But I mean, does the main roster really need somebody else right now? So.
No, I mean they can't establish the people that they just called up. So I wish that upon I wish that pox upon no one at this moment. You know, considering what
But
they
don't you
did
think.
to all of Retribution. I mean, I
I
even
was just
feel
thinking about
bad
this.
for Shane Thorne, and that's saying something.
Shane Thorne, I mean, all right. I'm not saying the guy didn't have talent, but he was a nobody in NXT.
Oh.
You know? Like, not even, I
Yeah.
mean, there's no way around it. He made no impact. He was part of that, what, Team TMK, blah 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 thing,
Yeah.
and like they're gone. And then he was a singles wrestler that went nowhere. And all of a sudden, yeah, so all right, so honestly, them calling him up, I mean, Slapjack or whatever his damn name is, okay, that's fine. But I just thought of this when you were talking. Like, so Matt Riddle's now just Riddle, right? Vince hates last names for some reason, even though all of his biggest stars outside of The Rock have had
Two
a full name
names.
and Undertaker. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
but I was just thinking, wouldn't he have just loved having Dijakovic? It's one name, but it's three syllables. Dijakovic. Oh, no, four syllables. Sorry. People are like, oh my God, it's perfect. You know? Or just Dijak. He gave us Ryback. Why not give us Dijak, you know?
Because that was his old name, so they're not going to go back to that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, Donovan Dijak, baby, back in the ROH days. That one is not coming back.
Yeah. Oh well. But no, man, it's. But no, that there's. And even like Ciampa, this whole thing with Ciampa calling out the young guys is kind of a weird thing too.
Well, and I maybe it was just Chris I talked to about this, but I like all of those guys are just and Adam Cole is in the group too, where they're at that point in NXT where it's just like, what the hell do we do with you guys? Just like all of them are in that group where it's just like it's part of the reason why you do another War Games with Undisputed Era. It's just like another way to get through another show without having to really come up. Because it's just like, why wouldn't Adam Cole go back after the championship again? Pretty much constantly, Gargano. Like it's almost weird that Gargano fixated on the NXT championship when he would almost have decent claims at the the main. Or did I say that right? Did I say North American Championship? But
No, you said
yeah.
NXT.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's almost weird that he went after the North American Championship when he really just should be going after the NXT Championship. I guess I don't know if they want it, because the only thing that they can start to do, which they've been very resistant of, is getting into that like territory of multiple. Like they've done the two reigns, but I don't think anyone's really done. I don't think anyone's done three reigns as a champion in NXT. Like, that's one of those barriers where I wonder if they're going to start to break that at some point. Just because so many people graduate up to the main roster, a lot of people aren't going to bank a lot of numbers, but I could see guys just being stuck on NXT, honestly. Like, I guess it's a little bit of a problem just because I don't see like the WWE. Like, I would love to see pretty much any of those guys against Daniel Bryan, but I don't see Daniel Bryan getting moved off the main roster and moved on to the show that doesn't get nearly the eyeballs that the other two do. You
Yeah,
know? Like,
well, yeah,
they're.
he. I don't know about Daniel Bryan though. It'd be interesting because he made a point of it was on like what not talking shop, how's that, Talking Smack, whatever, he made a point of saying that this is quietly, this is his last run. So now he's back now, and this is his last run.
Oh.
So I don't know how long that he's going to stay there or any of that stuff, but it was his words. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, that sucks if that's the case. Because, I guess aside from making some dream matchups like that, I mean, that is the problem. I do think that all of those guys have a main roster problem. Like, I know that Adam Cole isn't as small as he can be talked about, but he's still not big, you know? Like, he's still going to look tiny against a Braun Strowman or a Drew McIntyre.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's going to be... Well, we've had Cole and McIntyre, so that's not so bad. But, yeah, I mean, Braun Strowman and Adam Cole, holy God, man, that's really not good. I think we've actually mentioned that before, or maybe she and I did, but yeah, we actually mentioned that, like, he was there against Seth, that's not so bad. But then even Seth, you know, Seth's a smaller guy. There's comparatively to the rest of the roster, so.
Yes. Yeah.
but, all right, so we got to get away from this, actually, because we got so much goofiness to talk about. So then, Timothy Thatcher is beating up Anthony Green, who I don't remember what his new name is, something Gray.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember either, offhand.
Yeah, so, and then him and Dexter Lumis fight. Cameron Grimes interferes, and Thatcher takes out
Lumis,
which is fine.
Yeah.
Well, then Cameron Grimes proceeds to beat the shit out of Dexter Lumis. Like, wait, what? Here's this cowardly guy, and he is fucking roughing up Dexter Lumis. I was shocked. I know he put, like, a bag over his head so he couldn't see, and he said that's, like, the key to him or something, which I thought was funny. And really, anything Cameron Grimes does makes me laugh now. But...
Yeah.
Especially his interview later when... was it Sarah Shriver, whatever her name is? Yeah, she was asking him about it, and he's like, I wasn't scared of nothing last week. He's like, this is all this ookie stuff, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, you know what? It takes a big man to admit when he's scared. You know what? I was a little bit scared last week. And I went, this guy's awesome. He immediately goes back and recants exactly what he just said. With no irony whatsoever. He's like, yeah, I was scared. But, you know, it's okay. I'm not now. And then he has to get his goofy catchphrase in, which is just... which didn't really make any sense, but he still got it in.
Oh,
the guy's just a hunk of garbage. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty chicken shitty coming out and attacking Lumis after the match.
Oh, yeah.
And after he was injured. So, I mean, he wasn't exactly braving that part up either, so... even though he did, I mean, Grimes is definitely one of those guys that is deceptively big.
Yes, he is, dude. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Because he didn't look that small, like, I mean, Dexter Lumis is a big dude, and, he did not look out of... Yeah, he hasn't looked bad battling him, other than the fact that, you know, they're just making him the cowardly heel who's showing his ass pretty much 90% of the time.
Yeah.
He has definitely been another one of those highlights, but it is kind of weird that they're almost doing a Matt Hardy type level storyline here with Cameron Grimes, which is kind of funny considering that they're friends.
Yeah. I just, I've, I've really grown to like him. I wasn't. I don't know. Maybe I didn't see enough of him as Trevor Lee because I was not watching Impact or TNA, whatever it was then. So maybe I missed the boat on him. But I'm glad I'm on board now. So that was fun. And then can we please talk about this goofy dragon shit? Like, what the fuck was that?
That was pretty wild. Like, I did think it was pretty fun that, well, Raquel Gonzalez, does she always just show off her back muscles when she comes out?
If you had those back muscles, wouldn't you? So,
I guess.
I look at it that way. Fuck yeah, I'd be flexing all the time.
Um.
Don't wait. Let's see this straight. Don't you dare say a bad thing about her. She can do whatever she wants.
Well,
We saw her when she was tag team with Rhea Ripley. She was Renee Gonzalez at the time. And I was like, this match is just perfect. I don't remember a thing about it other than it had Rhea Ripley before she was really into the heavy makeup stuff she's doing now,
Oh.
and Renee Gonzalez when she was a little thicker back then too.
Yeah.
So she's thinned down and got more muscular than she was back then. Oof. It was a
Yeah.
dream coming true. I think they were fighting Ember Moon. Is it Ember? Was Ember? No. I can't remember who they were fighting. And I'm like, this is the greatest match I've ever seen. And it wasn't for the wrestling action. And yeah, I'm saying exactly what you think I'm saying. So,
Well,
I love really athletic, beautiful women. What a fucking, what a horrible thing to do. But
yeah, no kidding.
terrible.
But I guess I did want to mention her just because A, she like that was more of a whooping than anything that she put on Boa. So I mean that's one of those ones just like they're like, oh, how are we gonna get her heat back? Oh, we'll have her whoop this dude's ass. I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, this is effective.
Yeah. And so I've never seen Boa wrestle a match that I remember. He has a finishing move called the Constrictor, right? If not, I mean,
I don't
if
know.
not, what are we doing? So it's wrestling. It's tacky. It's stupid. Yes.
Yeah,
So he should
I
have
would think so.
the Anaconda device. There. You could just call it the Constrictor.
Oh.
Bo is using the Constrictor. You're like, oh, dude. Like, yeah, there we go. There. You're welcome. So, but yeah, that I will say is goofy as the dude from either take your pick, Golden Child or Gremlins. You'll figure that one out.
Oh, well, you
That
could also
dragon.
go with Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes. Actually,
I think that's a
aren't they
better
the same
fit.
guy? I'm trying to figure out if they're actually the same guy.
It's
Wait, what was the
it.
80s? There were only four Asian guys that actually used the entire 10 years. So.
I know it wasn't Egg, but they were trying to do an Egg impersonation.
But yeah, so the dragon going on the video screen was cool as hell.
Yeah, I
I'm like,
did.
that's. They need to make sure that's either Boa's or Xylee's going forward. That was cool as hell.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun thing that they haven't really utilized the screens for that type of thing yet. And I did think that that was pretty fun that they used them. I mean, it just reminds me like in the arena, in most of the arenas now, they have that ribbon board that kind of goes around the separation between the expensive tickets and the not so expensive tickets. And they kind of use it for stuff like that, where if they want something to look like it's going in a circle, they have that kind of thing
Yeah.
going on. I've seen plenty of pucks being shot around those type of LED boards. So yeah, I mean, I thought that was a really fun and great use of all the LED boards that they now have up everywhere.
Yeah. But that's where it just like, what?
Well, this whole thing has been pretty weird because Xia Li gets the... Because how long ago did Boa come out to give her the letter? It's been a minute since that happened. Like, hasn't it been like...
Well, he's been doing it like once a week, hasn't he?
Yeah, for like at least a couple of... Has it been 2 months at this point?
I would, at the very least, yes.
Yeah, just because it hasn't been something that's been a weekly occurrence, but it kind of keeps on happening, and they haven't really had any reveal whatsoever about what's going... You know, like, I feel like by now, normally you know that there's some type of demand that's going on, there's something that's owed, there's some type of hostage situation, if it's a movie, usually... but yeah, like, it's really wild that, like, there hasn't been any definition for what's going on, and this week's happenings did not clear up anything at all.
No. I did like, and this goes back to William Regal, I did like William Regal looking at the guy like, what are you doing here? Or even when, like, Xia Li was sitting there, he goes, I need a match. He goes, okay. I'll take it on, like, blah, 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 and this and this. And it's like, okay, So at least William Regal even looks at it like, what the hell's going on here? Like, why is this stuff happening? You know, like a real general manager would do, actually. So.
Yes.
But yeah, but the rest of NXT was just like, whatever. Pat McAfee calling Vic Joseph a scumbag will always make me laugh. It's so out of the blue. It's just, why? Why are you picking on Vic Joseph? The most, like, indistinguishable announcer that they have. I mean, obviously, we know him from wrestling, but it's like,
yeah,
okay? Like, why is he a scumbag? It just makes me laugh, because it's such an odd thing.
Well, it kind of seems very old-school heel-y, too, to pick on the guy that... doesn't really need to be, like you said, like, he doesn't have some weird defining trait, like someone picking on Byron Saxton at this point. I'm like, okay, that guy's just there for the abuse anyway, so whatever. But yeah, picking on the play-by-play guy is always kind of, and I guess that's the other thing, is it's usually not the play-by-play guy that gets the wrath. It's usually the killer commentator who can at least respond with some, you know, some level of authority, I suppose, since they're usually ex-wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, and I also like it was old school heel to me. So I know he's picking on the announcer, but he's also not picking on the Bad News Barrett.
Oh.
I'm going over there, and I'm going to be with Bad News Barrett. And I was like... He's all happy to be around his buddy heel announcer, which Barrett kind of goes back and forth, but still.
Yeah, well, it just kind of... That was kind of an underrated part of Halloween Havoc when Wade Barrett said he dressed up as Bad News Barrett.
His favorite gimmick ever. His famous wrestler gimmick ever, Bad News Barrett. Dude, we forget how over that was. Like, as much as we wanted just Wade Barrett to be awesome, that Bad News Barrett stuff got over big time. Whenever he would, like, bang the gavel and do this, people were going crazy. Like, one, they'd boo him, and then two, after a while, they started to like it. So, and then he was gone. So, there's that.
Yep, that is a fair enough point.
Pat McAfee, though, for being a bad guy, he's entertaining. And the reason I think he's entertaining is they're not writing his stuff. He's going out there, and he, like, when else are they going to call somebody a scumbag? Being dead serious.
Oh, never.
They're not going to do that.
No, and it does seem like, and I'm not really surprised since he does have a radio thing that, you know, he keeps it within reason. Like, it, I don't feel like he's, I don't feel like he's trying to force like those and this can eventually lead to AEW talk. The fuck you type of stuff. Like, that always just seems, oh, I'm trying to be edgy, especially when it's someone that's coming in, like a McAfee. You know, like, it's more fun that he uses, you know, PC available words like scumbag. I think he does a good job of self-censoring himself. And yeah, I mean, the guy does like talk for a living. Like, I guess no one should really be surprised, because I mean, I feel like most of the people that have talked for a living have done a pretty decent job. If they haven't been given some terrible material. Like, I mean, I remember Jon Stewart doing a good job when he was on, too. So, McAfee's kind of been, yeah, I mean, he's been out of the NFL for a little while now at this point, hasn't he?
And honestly, I never heard of the guy until he started doing this stuff.
I was familiar because... he went to West Virginia, so I knew him because he sucks. but then, yeah, I think he, I pay more attention to the NFL than you do. But yeah, I definitely saw him, on Sundays somewhat regularly. And plus, I mean, he did do, you know, it's not like he was a bad punter. I mean, he was a good punter.
No, from all of what I've heard, he's a very good one.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, I know that's not exactly being a great pretty much any other position, but, you know, I feel like he did a lot of show appearances then that people realized that he was kind of a bit of a trash talker and, you know, known for being verbose even back then. So I guess it's one of those things where I didn't really pay attention to him because he's a punter. Like I can acknowledge that they were a good at their position and also not give a shit about them at the same time. So I didn't really pay attention just because I was like, oh, whatever. He's probably a moron because again, he went to West Virginia. So, I was just like, I never really paid attention all that much to him, but at least I kind of knew him and kind of his reputation, I suppose, before he came into NXT. So it's one of those ones where the gimmick isn't really surprising me a whole lot. It seems in line with how he has always kind of presented himself.
Yeah, I know he's on, like, College Game Day now. And I'm like, oh, boy. So,
yeah.
But I if you're going to give somebody a mouthpiece, though, it's good that they gave it to O'Neill Orkin and Birch, because that's not their strong suit. Pete Dunne was fine, but I guess they're just going with, like, the silent one, which I actually think is kind of harkens to Matt Riddle and him, where Riddle was always talking, always doing something, and Pete was like, what are we doing? Which, I really missed those segments, but...
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm good, especially since Pete Dunne decided to get prison ripped while he was...
Dude, that's... He's one of those rips, like, he's saying, I'm going to stand here and be ripped. Sort of ripped. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's kind of flexing, and he looks like he's flexing. Like, goddamn, dude.
Yeah.
That's not what I did during all the shutdown, so.
the advantages to still, like, I believe he's still legitimately, like, young. Like, isn't he 25 or something like that?
Yeah. Him and Tyler Bate are young. So, Trent Seven, who's old and just said, hey, do you think I could look worse after COVID? No, I don't think you could look any worse. All right. Hold my, well, no, don't hold my beer. I'm going to need a few more of those. And then I'll let you see how I look now. That's why I appreciate Trent Seven. He doesn't give a fuck. I don't know if you've seen... All right, one, did you watch Walter and Dragunov yet?
No, I still haven't watched that.
Have to watch that.
Yeah, I like, yeah, I feel like I saw a couple other good positive reviews of that match, and it's just
that was probably the best match this year.
Yeah, the travel schedule just kills my will to watch TV sometimes.
Well, you could have skipped. You know what? I was gonna text you and just tell you just skip AEW and watch that instead, because I don't know if they had a massive outbreak of something, or they just said, all right, we're not going to do anything good on the show, so here we go. why – okay, this is a bigger overarching thing with AEW. Why does everybody – like anybody – I'm sorry, anybody – have an old-time wrestler in their corner? No one asked for this. They were supposed to be the alternative. They were supposed to be, I'm not even getting on the sports related thing, but they were supposed to be different. Well, Tully Blanchard? Okay. Arn Anderson? Huh? They bring Taz out to be the mouthpiece for Brian Cage, which, okay, that's fine, I guess. But Ricky Starks doesn't need a mouthpiece. And then you've got Nyla Rose with Vicky Guerrero. Hey, am I missing, like, the conferences or the message boards or whatever, to where people are beating a drum for these old, like, old-time stars to come back and take up TV time? You know, I'm confused. None of them actually enhance the talent they're with. Not one of them.
I mean, Tully Blanchard did help Sean Spears actually get a win this week. The first time he's gotten a win on AEW TV, and I have no fucking idea how long, but it's been a long-ass time.
Dark. He's been winning matches like crazy.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
If he's not winning them on Dynamite, he's not winning real matches.
Okay, dude. I wanted to talk about the first segment, but that is the epitome of what this show was.
The first segment?
If you didn't win it on Dynamite, it doesn't matter. This Sean Spears Scorpio Sky thing's been going on in AEW Dark for weeks. The whole thing with the bunny maxing out QT Marshall's credit cards.
Oh.
All of that happened on AEW Dark. Then all of a sudden, they put it on AEW TV the day or the week after one of their four pay-per-views of the year.
What's
going on?
Well, that was kind of the weird thing. Because I think Chris and I talked about it a little last week, just because they started previewing these matches last week. And it just seemed like such a strange time to preview these weird blow-off matches the week of a pay-per-view. And then having that, like, I mean, the announcers were kind of right saying that it kind of still felt like a pay-per-view feel to it. But the problem is that most of the people watching probably don't watch Dark, so they had no idea what... Well, and even the announcer, I kind of forgot. Which match was it that Jim Ross is like, oh, I had no idea these guys hated each other this much? Was it the Bunkhouse Brawl match with Butcher and Blade and the Natural Nightmares? Or was that another...
Maybe?
I
know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
But yeah, it's bad when, like, even the announcers are like, man, I had no idea this shit was happening either. Like, I'm as surprised as you, TV audience. Like...
Yeah, there was something else Jim Ross did. Like, it was funny. I guess people could get mad about it, but they were talking about how this one person has been really good on Dark, and Jay goes, "Oh, okay, I didn't know that." And then he goes, "Yeah, well, he's some high flyer or whatever else." I wish I had the lineup in front of me, but it goes to just what you were saying. Like, even he's like, "I don't watch it. I'm busy in production meetings and shit." Like. You guys put this on TV. I don't know what you're talking about. So, but no, that was the weirdest after pay-per-view show I have ever seen. And logically and also quality-wise, we've had some stinkers after a pay-per-view. We've been to them where they sucked.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even NXTs aren't necessarily great after a pay-per-view, because there's a lot of... I guess it's better now than it was, just because of how production is being run now, rather than like, oh, hey, these were the tape matches from the pay-per-view that everyone watched before the pay-per-view, and we're just going to stick in a couple of promos in here. They kind of more have legitimate episodes now, so I don't think the problem's been quite as bad recently on NXT, but yeah, this one was... It was really bad. Like, you started texting me about how bad the opening segment was, and I was just like... Because when you mentioned...
One, that FTW thing is so goddamn stupid. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
It's a mindset, it's a blah, blah, blah. Cool. What are you talking about?
If they wanted to name their stable the FTW stable or something like that and say that it's a mindset, that's fine. But when you have a championship... and you never defend it at all, it really just starts to look stupid.
Well, you remember when Ted DiBiase did that? The $1 million belt mattered. You know what I mean? Like, it was a fake title. He never defended it. But damn it, that thing was important. This is just a prop. And then they go, well, he's a champion. No, he's not.
That was the other odd thing about the segment. I felt like last week on the show, he said that Brian Cage was the number one contender or something like that. And then all of a sudden, this week, he's like, oh, Ricky Starks and Brian Cage are the number four and number five contenders. And I'm like... Well, then you don't really have an argument anymore, dude.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things, if you watch AEW Dark.
Oh, Jesus.
Taz was complaining that at Ricky Starks, he keeps winning matches, but he's not ranked. That's why that was a big deal. Now, the only reason they're doing, and I have no proof for this, but the only reason they're doing this, like talking about the rankings all of a sudden, is they're getting lambasted. Or lambasted, however you say it, because they keep saying, well, you know, it's a sports presentation, the rankings are going to matter, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
And it's very clear, no, they don't. So,
yeah.
Okay, MJF has lost one match his entire time. I know he lost to Jon Moxley, whatever. He should still be the number one contender. Like, he just beat Chris Jericho, former champ. Don't you think that pushes you into the top? Oh, well, yeah. Who cares? I think they just got too big for their britches. Some respects.
Well, they like, came up.
We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. Like, okay.
They realized how much of a problem rankings are. Especially.
Well, rankings aren't a problem if you have a good booking plan. No? So...
I guess sometimes, but they didn't do... I guess they could have used them more to their advantage than they have.
Yeah.
because they kind of did it at the jump, but then they got away from it. And honestly, that'd be one of those things that if they actually did depend upon those more, it would help differentiate them a little bit more from the WWE, but they're just more talked about in nebulous now than they are tangible things.
Yeah. But no, so, all right, so the first segment stinks. And then we had Brian Cage versus Matt Sydal, which didn't work. And then, honestly, if you have a monster like Cage, and this goes back to the Lance Archer, any big man, smaller guy match, they don't know how to do them because they insist on having everybody be equal. And if somebody just comes out ahead. He should have killed Matt Sydal. But Brian Cage actually isn't that big of a guy. He's not tall. I think he's maybe 6 feet tall. He just looks huge around everybody else. Now, obviously muscle-wise, yeah, he's a big-ass dude. But he's not like a Lance Archer or Brody Lee. That's
correct.
Sure. So then we get... What are we doing? Cody comes out and he's talking about blah blah blah, this and this. Like, cool, all right. I mean, Darby's not going to talk much, and that's fine. You know, he's just the face of the network and he's the champ. Cool. Well, all of a sudden, what? I'm still confused. Who thought this was a good idea?
This was where, for me, things really took a turn for the bad. Like,
oh, yeah.
I thought that Taz was doing some whatever stuff, and that stuff isn't, you know, completely landing for me. So I'm like, okay, I don't think that was that terrible. And then I saw this, and I'm like, huh? Like, I don't know why Jade Cargill... And I hope that name comes from somewhere better, because that's a terrible name.
Never heard of her until last night.
Well, I
guess she was a former basketball player.
Good for her. Player.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean she knows how to talk. Like in a professional wrestling environment. So.
Yeah. That was kind of weird, just because... Cody's already involved in a feud, and then she comes out to start another feud. But then, for whatever reason, I guess Brandy was over at the other side of Daly's Palace while this was all going on, and finally decided to show up at the end of the segment.
Okay, she saved this segment. Brandy was hilarious. I honestly was laughing when she just went nuts on the girl and was just talking shit. Like, it cracked me up.
I guess the only thing I was sitting there thinking the whole time to myself is, Brandy, it looks like you're gonna get your ass kicked.
Oh, you don't watch AEW Dark. Brandy wrestles on Dark. She's a wrestler.
Brandy, you're gonna get your ass kicked. did you mishear me the first time?
Hey, Kev, no, she's a competent wrestler on Dark. Like,
sure,
they treat her with all sorts of seriousness. So,
well, they can continue to do that on Dark. But honestly, like, well, I guess that's one of those things that's just like, what.
You're concentrating on that part where everything before it sucked.
Oh,
I mean, everything before it sucked.
Well,
and Brandy comes out just going nuts, just doing whatever. At least that was the only natural part of that entire segment.
That is true. I will agree.
I mean,
with
as
you.
Much as that's probably a put on as well, but you know. It was absolutely tolerable and kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then, And what was after that? Was that the Inner Circle stuff? No, they had a match or something. Well, that was the Bunkhouse match, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the Bunkhouse match next. Which...
the Bunkhouse match, which doesn't...
That was the one time that I was just like, oh, please let Butcher and Blade win. I was like, these guys need, like, kind of a big win. And then I see QT Marshall making the pin, and I'm like, gotta be fucking kidding me.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, just blood all over the place. Allie, alright, if you don't know how to put handcuffs on someone, don't do it.
I don't know how it's complicated to use handcuffs.
She wasn't tall enough. I mean, even in those heels, she's a tiny woman. So she's trying to reach up to get his arm and like put him on, and then reach up and handcuff the cuffs. I'm like, somebody, like, what are we doing? So, yeah.
Yeah, it, well...
The Butcher and Blade needed to win that, but...
Oh yeah. Well. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care anymore about QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes than I did before, and Butcher and Blade and Bunny just continue to be a laughing stock. Like, if I were them, I'd be, at least the two of them, I'd be sitting there going, why did I leave Impact? I was like, is this check good?
They weren't in Impact.
Yeah, they were.
Butcher and Blade weren't, no.
No, Butcher and Bunny, or Blade and Bunny.
Yeah, well, I think they just didn't renew his contract. She left.
Yeah.
But he just didn't renew. Because she was there on her own for the longest time. And that's when it was the Demon Bunny stuff with her and Rosemary.
Oh.
Yeah, but in that respect, well, honestly, money. I mean,
yeah.
You know AEW's paying them more. At that time, of course. But, yeah, but you're right. Like, Butcher and Blade, like, they came out looking cool as hell. I mean, Butcher with the not the ski mask, but the just the mask on his face and all that.
Yeah,
he looked cool. But I don't know, man.
Yeah,
they had a weird debut. They lost in their debut match. All they do is lose. So okay, and then QT Marshall, who the hell? When's the last time he wrestled on TV? So there's that. And then Dustin, so whatever.
Yeah, he looks great for his age, but he's still his age, so it's just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great. And then we get the inner circle stuff, which I have no idea where this is going.
I guess I'm kind of interested in some ways, just because... Obviously, the inner circle was too bloated to start with, honestly. And adding in two new people is not going to make it less bloated. And they definitely seem to be looking like they're heading for some type of a breakup angle, but... Man, I don't know. I don't know how long they can tease it, if they're just gonna, you know, have MJF and Wardlow win them over for a while and actually have smooth sailing before a turn happens. There's a lot of options, and it keeps on feeling like it's gonna swerve to disaster, and then it doesn't.
I'll disagree with you on being bloated for the inner circle. The inner circle is something that never took off the way it should have. And I think COVID had something to do with it.
Oh.
Because you had Jericho as a champion. They introduced the TNT title during COVID, right?
Right. I think they might have announced it before, but I do remember that the belt was not completely finished because of lack of work on it during COVID.
Okay. So you had the TNT title, and then you had was it Pride and Powerful? Right? Santana Ortiz. Who've never really been taken seriously as a tag team? If you think about it.
No, not in AEW.
Yeah, so you had it. It was primed for them to be like a dominant faction, with Hager being the muscle. Because he's also fighting MMA, so he's not going to wrestle that much. Okay, that's cool. But then it just went nowhere. And then I can see your point of like it being bloated. It's like, all right, these guys are just doing nothing. So, but they do that with everybody. But, I don't know. I didn't really care. I didn't think it was that entertaining. No. Why Chris Jericho, the rock star, is excited to go to Vegas, especially during COVID, doesn't make any sense. I love the fact, was it, which one was it? Who's the unhappy one? Sammy and Ortiz. Santana.
Okay. No, Santana's Ortiz? Taller.
Santana's taller, that's right.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't want to do this. And then they do the stuff backstage. You know.
Yeah.
Now, I know how this is going to sound because it's not going to turn out that way, but unless there is something going on, because, you know, Sammy Guevara keeps saying he's not getting text messages or emails.
Oh, yeah.
Unless one of the other members of the Inner Circle is deleting his stuff, which doesn't make sense because how are they going to get his phone? But unless that's Jericho's way of pushing him out in favor of MJF.
Oh.
Like a bitch move, but whatever. But
yeah.
No.
I mean, it'd make more sense for Jericho to do it than just about anyone else in the inner circle. Exactly.
Yeah. But no, and then I don't even know who she fought, but Taya Conti and
was it Red Velvet?
Oh my.
Yeah, Red Velvet.
Oh my god. Taya Conti's not good.
She's
gorgeous. She's got a world to go. Bane. Jim Ross covered for her at one point. She was a good 5 feet away from the turnbuckle, and she just like kind of stumbles and throws herself into the turnbuckle instead of adjusting.
Yeah, I thought the match was going smooth, and then I was like, oh, this didn't go well. Because I thought that she would be an upgrade for them, but now I'm going, ooh, maybe I was not right. I guess it's not shocking that she was probably in the ring with better competitors when she was in NXT. That may have helped her along a little bit more than I thought. because the ending of that was really not good. Because she did that one flip or whatever, and I think she was supposed to go straight in for like the knee, and then kind of had the reset and. Yeah, that match was not good at all. And
I was going to say, it's too long.
Nothing
but about 10 minutes?
The review I'm looking at is saying 8 minutes. But as I was sitting here power watching it before recording, I was just like, why is this getting a commercial break? Like, are you kidding me? Like, you barely know who any of the... And that's kind of a broader problem, and maybe one of those. Not that Brandy got a lot of mic time, but it's just like I have no idea. They've tried to show Tay Conti a number of times, and they don't. She doesn't have a real personality. Anna Jay is supposed to be a character that was in the background of this match. She hasn't gotten any promo time. I don't know still completely why Red Velvet is with Brandi Rhodes. Hikaru Shida, the champion, she comes off of the big Nyla Rose win and is just not even to be seen on TV at all.
We're getting to that stuff too. So,
Ugh.
like, okay, so the Young Bucks finally win the titles, right? Not on the show. Yes, they did a video package, not on the show.
Huh?
FTR, who said if they weren't on the show,
Yeah,
well,
they
I'm sorry, they
were.
had that backstage segment, didn't they? Because
Yeah.
they wanted to take on Air Force or whoever.
Yeah, 'cause yeah, they're taking on a young brother duo that's won one match on Dark. And Alex Marvez just like a giant child just decided to accept their half-assed apology. Like, oh my God. Like, if you want me to have any respect for Alex Marvez, just get him off TV. Like, I've just really, man? Like, you're gonna just accept that bullshit apology for them kicking you in the face.
I know. But even then, like, there should have been something. It was just them backstage.
Well, that's better than
And
not
then we
being
get
on the
the
show.
true, that's, yeah, like FTR was nowhere to be seen as well. So, even though their manager was on in the next segment.
Yeah, I mean, the main problem with the Young Bucks is that, A, it's still weird that at least the crowd that's there at Daly's Place is cheering them, I think. It's just like these guys haven't done anything to be cheered. Like, and especially like I didn't get the pay-per-view, but they kind of laid out the match like baby faces, and it's just like you guys have presented yourself as anything but baby faces in the whole lead up to this. Like like
Well,
why are
they're
people
doing
falling for
heelish
this?
stuff, but they're faces. I know.
You know,
And it just.
it's one thing when you do like a heelish thing and end up getting over. And I'm thinking about like the lie, cheat, steal type stuff from Eddie Guerrero.
Entertaining guy, though, that's why. That's the only reason I got over.
Well,
It had nothing to do with the writing. That had everything to do with him.
then.
So, being that charismatic with that horrible of a gimmick, it got was so big.
Well, and I guess I'm trying to think, but I mean, there have been other heels where they end up being too cool and they end up getting cheered. But the Young Bucks have never, during this whole run of being dicks, they've never been cool. They've just been dicks. So, like, there was no reason to kind of get behind them. If they had kind of done cool dick stuff, like, if they had gone around super kicking, like, the bad guys that quote unquote deserve it, it would have been one thing. But when you're kicking out announcers left and right, yeah, there's no reason to cheer you. You're just a punk.
Which is fine if you're gonna be a heel, but whatever.
Yeah,
But yeah,
and
like FTR was not, was Hangman on? I don't remember seeing him
no,
either.
Hangman was not on.
Okay. Brody Lee hasn't been on since he lost the title. I think he may be hurt though. Whenever you lose, you just go away. Oh, and going back to like
Oh.
saddling people with old timers, no one asked for Jake the Snake Roberts, by the way. So to get back to what we're talking about.
Oh, jeez.
And then what's wasn't the next segment, wasn't that Sean Spears and I keep wanting to call him Too Cold Scorpio, but Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky, yeah.
Yeah. Another AEW Dark feud. Who cares? Next.
I mean, I feel completely terrible. Like, I love Scorpio Sky, but who doggies? Just.
And the match wasn't bad, but it was just like, okay, no one, like, there's no investment.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe there is, but with no crowd, we don't know, but I can't see it. And then, wait, was there anything else before the main event?
Or
did they just go straight into that debacle?
Oh, no, they went straight from the Ty Conti Red Velvet. Oh, my God. They're saying, the reviewer I'm reading says that the Conti versus Velvet match was a bit of a mess. That's understating things.
Nice. Yeah, they're being nice.
But, yeah, we went right into Rey Fénix versus Penta with a bazillion names.
Penta Muerto, something, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. The match I thought was pretty good, but what was with the ripping of the masks and Penta trying to kill his own brother? Like, huh?
Yeah, and
that was so bizarre. Like, there's no blood feud here. Like, why are they fighting so vehemently?
Well,
and even
Shivani was trying to make it about some words that Eddie Kingston said to them, but A, I don't remember what those were. If they were on TV at all. B, yeah, why would that strike a blood feud? And C, is it in Rey Fénix and Pentagon's contracts that if they're going to do singles matches, they can only wrestle like Kenny Omega or each other?
Yeah.
I think
Penta actually wrestled Trent once.
Oh. Holy smokes.
If I remember, he wrestled Trent once. Yeah, that was back when there were crowds still. So. But yeah.
It's just weird. Just because, like, I've not seen, you know, they do the tag match. Like, they go from being a tag team to being singles to hating each other. Like, I'm like, I'm just, you guys are just, like, they're caught in some type of weird Groundhog's Day loop where they're just doing the same stuff no matter what the company is. Like, I felt like I saw, like, when I was watching them in Impact last year, like, I felt like I saw the same exact stuff, minus the mask ripping.
Yeah.
But so, like, yeah, A, there seemed to be no real reason on TV for this level of anger to be leveled at each other. And yeah. Eddie Kingston acted like everything was going to be okay, but then kicked Rey Fénix aside after the match.
Okay, that was kind of funny. Like, in a real dick way, it's kind of funny.
Oh, but, yeah.
Well, he even said, like, during the match, though, he, like, changed his tune. I was like, ooh, this isn't good.
No, he never changed his tune.
No, yes, he did. No. He actually does say during the commentary, when he goes, oh, this is getting a little out of hand. It was when Penta was just trying to drive him through the ground with different pile drivers and that.
Oh, maybe he, oh, you know what? Yeah, I think it was the package pile driver on the outside that he finally changed his tune. But it's still, Eddie Kingston's family has just been weird from Jump Street. And this match didn't make it any less weird. Like, is Rey Fénix out now? Are Penta and him not going to be a tag team for a little while? It's not good when you have this many.
What'd
you say?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
All of these will be answered once the bad guy, Pac, comes back and fights for the other bad guys. This is a whole series of people that are bad guys. And if Pac comes in defending, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, even Eddie Kingston was a full-fledged heel this time, insulting people, calling people morons, all this stuff. Penta and Phoenix, bad guys. Butcher and the Blade, bad guys. Bunny, a bad woman. Like, so Pac, whose name is the bastard Pac, comes out and goes, or Pac, and then comes out and he wants to fight Eddie Kingston. Like, what? The end. Okay.
Like, yep.
He goes, did you think I'd be in England forever? And it's like, is he referring to like how he's tried to like ape the his stable, the Death Triangle, or something? Like, huh? So,
I guess, but, and I mean, I guess I'm okay with cliffhangers, but I didn't feel like, because was it last week or 2 weeks ago that they aired the video from Pac on the show? Like, to me, I wasn't sitting there going, oh, he's going to get his hands on Eddie Kingston. And, like, him and the Death Triangle weren't together long enough for me to go, oh, man, they were as tight as New Day. You know,
yeah.
Like, no, like, they didn't get much TV time. Like, they, and I think a pandemic happened to really kill that angle. So,
yeah,
it's like one of those callbacks that's not even really a callback because it happened because of unforeseen circumstances. So, why are you forcing this that take place? So weird.
I was confused. Yeah, I'm lost by their booking. I'm lost by their decision process. We did skip over Kenny Omega. That was good.
Well, and I thought John Moxley was good too. With his promo. So yeah, I mean, there were definitely some upsides to the show, but for the most part, it was, yeah, their booking, the people that are drinking the Kool-Aid and kind of cheering everything is just kind of bizarre to me. Like, I don't know how you can be drinking the Kool-Aid watching this stuff. Like,
not this week, no.
Yeah, definitely not this week. So, I guess it's time to talk about beer. Because I'm done talking about AEW. Like, we went long enough on them.
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate week for them. Hopefully next week's better, but
Yeah, like, they haven't been this bad for the most part. So this is one where I'm like, I'll just kind of chalk it up and move along. As usual, Wednesday tends to be the more entertaining of the evenings of wrestling.
Oh, I tried
anyway.
Watching Raw this week. That show is dumb. Nia Jax hurts another wrestler. So Mandy Rose is probably out of Survivor Series now. Everybody's just squabbling like children. And then they're giving away Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton for free on TV, so you know Randy Orton's going to still be the champion. Yeah. And why did they make Tucker wear that outfit? Oh my God.
I don't know, man.
Anyways.
Yeah, that was bad.
So, anyways.
Bell Time beer on my end. Gristhouse Brewing Kapow Candy. Boysenberry, raspberry, guava, fruited sour. It is delicious. This is from a Pittsburgh brewery. So anyone that has the Pittsburgh connections, I always highly suggest the Gristhouse Brewing if you happen to be in that neck of the woods, because their beer is excelente. What were you having on your end, sir?
Mine's from Birds Fly South. It's out of Greenville, which did not exist when I lived there. All the breweries were basically made after I left. it's called, I guess, Biggie. Oh, okay. It's for like a Biggie. Sorry. It's basically their sour ale. It's okay. Pretty damn good. I can't place the fruit though.
Oh.
Lactotank, blah, blah.
One of those ones
it
where
I can't place it, but it's good.
It just says it's a fruited sour, and it leaves it up to your taste palate to figure out what it is.
Well, it's a sour ale, so it's got hops in it too. So it's kind of all over the place, but they make interesting stuff there. I really like them. I wish that they would have been there when I lived in Greenville.
Oh.
It would have given me at least somewhere to go that didn't reek of boredom. So, man, you know how annoyed I get when someone goes, oh my God, Greenville's beautiful. There's so much to do there. And I go, like what? Name me something. Well, you can go to the mountains, 45 minutes away. Next. Well, the beach is 3 hours away. Next. There ain't nothing to do there. Don't get that bullshit. Well, there's a lot of restaurants. You can go eat anywhere. Oh, yeah, by the way, I don't know if in your travels for work now, I don't even know if they have Popeye's near you. Have you tried their chicken sandwich?
No.
It's as good as advertised. I was shocked.
Oh.
I'm not going to, like, sing when I get it or, like, try and make love to it like some of these idiots do in the commercials, but we were dumbfounded how good it was.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I do actually think that there's one near the office, but I have lunch planned tomorrow already, so.
I mean, it's a meal. The sandwich itself is a meal to me. Their fries are gross. I've never had them before. They're nasty. But I don't know where you're at with mayonnaise. Next time I get it, I'm going to tell them either go like really light on the mayonnaise or none, because there was a lot on there.
Oh.
But, dude, the shit was good. I was, you know, if it wasn't good, I wouldn't even brought it up, I guess, but I was shocked. So,
well, yeah. Maybe I will try that. Maybe I won't. We shall see. I'm at Frang11. That's at Granny Mae's. Show is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on all the places that participate in letting out podcasts, because we're pretty much on all of them at this point. Sue, have a good night.
Later, guys.